You're listening to WCOM-FM, LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 on the dial, and live streaming from WCOMFM.org. Here's a reminder that the comments, views, and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the opinions of WCOM, its board, and underwriters. From Main Street to Wall Street, the issues impacting your business, we're talking leadership, technology, politics, regulation, and success stories that inspire. It's time to focus on business. I'm your host, author, speaker, entrepreneur, and business consultant, Lee Strickland. I'm the CEO of Focus Resources and 2S Innovations and founder of the Network for Business Growth. I've also created the Core Business Transformation System. And now today's program. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. And my guests today are Chuck Norman, owner and principal of S&A Communications and publisher of the North Carolina 100, and Deneen Bloom, okay. I knew I was going to mess it up. Director of Client Services of S&A Communications and the associate publisher of the North Carolina 100. Now, Chuck has 20 years of wide-ranging experience in public relations, marketing, branding, and publishing in a variety of industries, including economic development, professional services, automotive, college and universities, technology, engineering, government and municipal associations, chambers of commerce, and his clients include NC State, the Town of Cary, Cirque du Soleil, Falcon Engineering, First Tennessee Bank, Precision Tune, Cary Economic Development, Smith Anderson, and the North Carolina Chamber. He is an accredited member of PRSA and has developed a national profile and strategic agency relationships throughout North America with his involvement in Counselors Academy, a group of top thought leaders who shape the direction of the public relations industry. Chuck has served locally and nationally on a variety of boards and has received the Triangle Business Journal's 40 Under 40 Leadership Award. That was in 2009. He earned his BA in communications with a concentration in public relations from NC State. Deneen's expertise also spans 20 years in marketing strategy, brand building, campaign development, consumer research, and advertising. She has worked with brands including Golden Corral, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, NC Agency Public Telecommunications, Benikins, Precision Tune Auto Care, Bear Rock Cafe, and NBC. She serves on the board of directors for the public radio station WSHA, the U.S. Uganda Orphans Education Fund, and has served on the Women's Leadership Council with the United Way. She's volunteered with Habitat for Humanity, Interactive Wake County, and Band Together. She holds certifications in nonprofit board training from SPARK and the United Way of the Greater Triangle, and served as committee co-chair for Communities and Schools NC's annual fundraiser. She holds a master's degree in management from the Annenberg School for Communications at the University of Southern California. Thank you guys for being on the show today.
Our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I'm really excited to be talking about one of your new ventures, the NC 100, and its context in marketing, branding, PR, and making the connections for businesses and municipalities and things in the community. So how did you start NC 100? What is NC 100 for anyone who hasn't yet found it themselves? And just kind of give us some background.
Sure, Deneen and I will kind of play off of each other here, but the North Carolina 100 was started in April of this year, but it's not the first of its kind. I have a friend out of Atlanta, Georgia, who about 3 years ago was looking for a platform to further some of their PR efforts in the Georgia area of the country, and he came up with the 100 companies concept. Basically, what it is a way to reach business leaders in a geographic area and break down some of the barriers of entry that you would normally have reaching some of these high-profile individuals. It's basically a 15-story publication that comes out every other Thursday in North Carolina, and there are many markets across the country that have 100s that come out at different frequencies. But the North Carolina 100 currently is just bi-weekly, and we're excited to share more of the story with you today.
And so what are those 15 stories? How do you choose them? And what are the purpose of the stories you choose to put in the NC100?
Sure. Well, with any publication, and based on my knowledge of publishing, you have to have well-rounded content to build your subscriber base. So as much as we want this to be 100% business-focused, it's not always 100% business-focused, because we all like to do things in life as well. Whether it be travel and tourism or eat great food around the state, we try to cover everything from business to travel and tourism to history, because many of us are passionate about the state we live in or grew up in. So it covers a little bit of everything to kind of round out what's great about North Carolina and why we're passionate about all living here.
So you have a work-life balance in the NC100.
We try to, yes.
So how are you picking the stories? What piques your interest? Do people send stories in? Are they writing for you? Or is SNA communication staff writing all of them?
All of the above.
Okay.
That's the really fun part. So as Chuck said, I mean, this is also, the NC100 is also a service. So it's this e-newsletter. It's a free subscription. And we have many, many people across the state who are enjoying this every other week. And so the coming up with the content is really the fun part. We have quite a lot of clients who participate. So they may write a story on something they are a thought leader about and want to share that with folks. And we come up with general stories as well. Anything, it could be something we read in the news, somewhere we visited. We want to, as Chuck said, kind of keep a good balance. And so some of that is topics, the content, and it is also the geography across the state. So just in, you know, the current issue, we're covering, you know, Morganton, Salisbury, and Raleigh, and Greensboro, Currituck, and Robeson County. I mean, all over the place. So that makes it really fun looking for content. And we have a staff of writers who assist with that.
And so how long are the articles?
Another really fun part of the North Carolina 100. So every story must be exactly 100 words. So as a writer, it's a really fun challenge, I find, to have some worthy content, something interesting to read, but must be exactly 100 words.
You've got to get to the point.
Yes, yes, exactly. Now, you can have some links and they can go other places and expand on it from there, but for all of the stories and videos that we have, the videos have to be exactly 100 seconds.
It was truly an education for a PR professional to write something in 100 words. I think it's harder to write 100 than it is 1,000.
Well, it's like we've all gotten into that mode of, you know, everything needs to be search engine optimized on our website, but then, you know, you used to write articles, and now you have to write articles in the format that you can optimize them for the SEO search. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that puts a challenge there too. So you're essentially a new form of Twitter, only with 100 words.
Sort of.
Yeah, a Twitter on steroids, but right. It really is a we found doing some research through our partners that people don't have the time or the attention span to consume another media platform.
Right.
But we did find out that if something was to the point, gave them a snapshot of what was happening across the region, and they could read it in 15 minutes or less, they would be willing to buy into it.
And that's meaning reading the whole biweekly NC100 when it comes out in 15 minutes.
Correct. And okay. Some people can read faster. I mean, that's just kind of an average time. But, you know, you can get through the entire piece very quickly. And it's meant to be read within your email browser, whatever that platform is that you use. So you don't ever have to travel away to get the full story. A lot of people do travel to learn more about these different topics, but it's meant to be concise. It's meant to be read within your email browser and really give you a snapshot of what's happening right now in North Carolina.
Well, so it's kind of reflective of the times, because our attention spans are different and we're bombarded
shorter
with so many things. So it's kind of the perfect timing for this kind of thing, right, to be contemporary and digestible in those short amounts.
So your website is the North Carolina 100, and the 100 is the numeric 100.com, and people can go there and see the most recent issues, all past stories. What all can they find on the website?
Yes, all of the above, the current issue, as well as prior stories on different topics, and a way to contact us, a little more about what the NC100 is. All of that's there.
The best part about the website, though, is it's basically an archive for everything that's been published. Once you publish a story in a particular business sector, let's say real estate or law, you can search by those different indicators and get every story that has been published in that particular sector. So if I'm a commercial real estate broker or a residential real estate broker, I can click real estate and see what's being said about our industry.
You can also subscribe there. So that's a great way to sign up to receive the newsletter.
Okay, so that's the NorthCarolina100.com, and you can click on About and see what all is going on there and those kind of things. So you started this in April, And what was the motivation in the timing? What did you see in the community, in the media, in marketing, branding, PR, all those kind of things that decided you that this was the thing to do and this was the time to do it?
Sure. You mentioned Counselors Academy in my bio, and I've been a member of that since 2008. And I was chair of the conference. We bring about 150 agency owners together from around the United States and Canada to talk about where the industry is heading, how things are changing, how we have to communicate differently with individuals than we ever have before. And the concept really came out of the shrinking newsroom. There are fewer papers, there are fewer reporters, there are fewer pages in some of those publications, and that's just a trend we're seeing continue. And so as PR professionals, we were looking for an outlet to guarantee coverage for our clients, which is something that is not usually possible. So we decided to take the bull by the horns and create our own platform. The concept, again, came out of a friend from Atlanta, and he had about a 2.5-year proof of concept and did a really great job. And over those 2.5 years, grew the Atlanta 100 into about 57,000 subscribers. So once he figured out the model, he brought his topic to the conference and presented and said, here's what we're doing. Here's what we would like to do around the country with other individuals. And he started tapping into Counselors Academy members as his first potential resource to grow the brand. And he came to me and said, would you like to do the Triangle 100 or the Raleigh 100? And I said, I want to do the whole state if I'm going to do it. So that's how the North Carolina 100 was born.
I was going to say, because it's like you're saying, you know, the Atlanta one, or say maybe an Austin, Texas one, but you're saying the entire state of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You don't think small.
Well, you know, the concept is to have a large enough geographic area with a large enough population to make it matter. And North Carolina, as you know, is I think the ninth largest state now with 10 million plus people. But you know, that is probably at the top limit of what they're trying to cover from a geographic area. If you look at the Kentucky 100, the Oklahoma 100, you know, they are states with smaller populations, right. So it makes a lot of sense. But you know, I have high aspirations and dreams. So
well, you can always divide. You know,
and Lee, you asked about the magic of April. Well, the magic of launching April 2016 was the fact that as soon as Chuck brought this to the team and said, this is a great opportunity, and we all heard about it, we wanted to get up and running as fast as we could, offer this to our clients, and off we went. So it was a very quick turnaround from that point.
Mm-hmm. So in talking about your clients, what kind of client, I mean, I gave a list of some of them, but how are the clients playing into this, and what is the excitement level, and what do they see that this brings to the table that they haven't been able to find before?
I think Chuck really hit on it earlier. It brings them an audience. It brings them a very clear path to providing content out in front of business leaders across the state, which is guaranteed. We can publish their thoughts and get it out in, you know, periodically whenever they have, whenever they're going to be in an issue. So that's really huge, because prior to that, as a PR professional, you have a lot of different ways that you try to get your client positioned as a thought leader and have content that you pitch in right. different circles, and sometimes you have great success, and other times it's more difficult. So this is one thing that everybody's been excited about, because it provides that opportunity.
Well, I know when I started doing the radio show, that was the thing that excited me, was that we could break those barriers of where people weren't big enough right. to get radio, or they didn't their book wasn't, you know, on the bestseller list, or those kind of things, and so that people could get in earlier and start getting the visibility, but also the experience of mm-hmm. getting their thoughts out there and being comfortable with that, being on the radio or writing. I know a lot of my clients, when I say, well, let's put it in writing, let's get it out there, and they're like, but what if somebody doesn't like it, you know, and it's those kind of things. And it's getting everyone comfortable being visible.
Right. And this gives them a new opportunity for an audience they may not have otherwise tapped into.
It does.
Well.
And I know, being a communications professional also, you realize content marketing has kind of taken a hold of the world.
Yeah.
That was my whole marketing plan. I started my business almost, it'll be 14 years next year, and all I did was content marketing, and nobody was doing it back then.
Oh, wow.
And so 14 years ago, we weren't tweeting, we right. weren't Facebooking, mm-hmm. we did have email, contrary to what some of my younger clients think. But it was out there, and it was a differentiator, because people mm-hmm. know what you know, and that you're not just talking like you know it. They can read it, they can hear it. and they can go back to it as a resource.
People hire agencies like ours all the time to help tell their stories, but typically we're publishing on channels that are either owned by the client or hoping that and praying that we get something into a mainstream publication. And this guarantees coverage. You know, a lot of times when you're publishing something on your own channels, it falls on deaf ears.
Right.
Because people see it so much, and this provides a platform of 52,000 people statewide that probably aren't in our clients' networks. So even if you gather, you know, 100 people that see something for the first time, that's 100 more people than they've had previously.
So the NC 100 comes out biweekly. It gets delivered on every other Thursday. Mm-hmm. And it hits people's email box. Where else does it hit? Do you tweet it out with social media? What all do you do in that visibility aspect of the NC100?
We do, and yes, we are on all the social media platforms, of course, and the website, as we talked about earlier. And also, when we have a client who has a story in the NC100, we give them tips on how to tap into their network so they're sharing as well, and that has really grown their audience and the audience of the overall NC100 that way, because everyone is sharing it to their own networks.
As you know, writing about yourself has one level of impact. Having someone else write about you has another level of impact and third-party validation. It's almost like the scenario where you see a movie trailer and all the best parts of the movie are in the trailer, right?
Right.
But when somebody tells you about a movie, you're more likely to go see it when they tell you about it rather than using the information from the trailer, because that third-party validation is something that people really value when they're making decisions about who to use, who to buy from, and those types of things. So
what are the challenges that your clients are seeing, not just in getting seen and heard in traditional media, now you're giving them a non-traditional, which I think will ultimately become kind of a traditional thing, because I think the print stuff's going to not be where businesses are putting it. But what are their challenges, and what are they using marketing and PR and things to help them do in their businesses?
It's really just to tell their unique story in a different way. You don't have control of your message in mainstream media, and this is a way to have control of your message more so. I mean, we still don't want to write fluffy content that doesn't really have a lot of meaning behind it. We don't want to be overly salesy, because we really do have high journalistic standards, and we want this to be considered, you know, in the same vein as the business journals across the country, since we're opening up markets all over the United States. So, you know, some of the pain points are, there are so many individuals that have a high level of competition and people that are very skilled that do the same things that they do. So how are they creating separation from those individuals? A lot of times you can't get a feature story on your own business anymore. You have to be an individual that is a group of people talking as thought leaders about a topic. So this provides access to having a story about your business and no one else, so the focal point is not taken off you for the topic at large.
I know in working with my clients on trying to get them to understand that messaging and things, how big of a challenge are they finding on those businesses that, I like to say, are getting commoditized, right? They're becoming a commodity. An accountant is an accountant, a lawyer is a lawyer. How is that process of working with them to hone that message so that when they do write one of your NC100 pieces and it's 100 words exactly, or it's 100-second video, how are they able to to boil that down to that nutshell, that little gem that's going to appear in the NC100?
Well, I'll let Deneen chime on this as well, because she probably has a different experience than I do, because we approach the 100 in different ways. I'm looking at it more globally as, you know, the publisher and developing relationships, trying to find those relationships that help us spread our message across the state. But I really think that the North Carolina 100 is something that provides a voice and a platform for individuals to help with that separation. Your topics are so generalized, and you don't usually have enough time in a print publication to get your word across. So this helps expand to other things, blogging, thought leadership. It drives people to their sites. And anyway, Deneen, how do you
think
about
that? So are you saying, I'm going to jump in real quick. Are you saying this little 100 is the hook that people are using to get to click on this link, go to the blog, click on this to get more information, watch the video, those kind of things?
I think it definitely can be, but I think the North Carolina 100 stands on its own as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think everyone is clicking on something for more information. But to answer your question earlier, Lee, I think that for clients, you said, is this the thing? Are they, how are they distinguishing who they are using this platform? I think a couple of responses to that. One is that many of our clients are in multiple issues. So they may be in every issue for a year or every other issue for a year. So they have an opportunity to position themselves and differentiate their brand by sharing thought leadership on a number of different topics, maybe under the heading of accounting, to use your example, or real estate, whatever it might be. So over time, people are seeing, viewers to the website, folks reading the NC 100, they are seeing this person, this individual, or this company as an expert on all of these different things without it being promotional. It's not about shop here, buy this product, or use my service, of course.
It's a very passive nature kind of communication, because over time you want someone to keep you top of mind when they're making a major change in one of these larger service areas, whether it be a bank, whether it be an attorney. You know, it's not inexpensive for a business owner to make these big changes. So when they do, their current provider has to fail in some way or just really mess things up. And
or you really have to outgrow them.
That's right.
Like if you're at a community bank and then you need services that they can't have when you hit become a $40 million company, you move on to something
else.
And so what we're doing is we're keeping these thought leaders and these brands top of mind for individuals who, when that time comes, these are the people hopefully they'll choose.
Exactly. And it's an opportunity for those folks to really differentiate what does make them, what are their areas of expertise or their approach or something. You get a feel for who that brand is behind the story. So that's how.
And again, but that change, I know people used to laugh 14 years ago. I would write a 1,000-word article, and they would get read, and the outlets that were running them was like, we don't understand. We tell you 700 words, you give us 1,000. We tell you they're not going to read it, and they read it. I said, but it's the thing they needed to act on. It was that one little thing they needed, and then they could stop with the first paragraph. But then if they wanted the little steps, you could go down. It's less of that now. It is that first paragraph, give it to me, let me run, and then let me go to your website to see how you can help me do it later if when it comes to the top of the mind. It really has shifted in the past 14 years.
100 words is not a lot, but you would be surprised how you can really cover something, cover a topic in only 100 words. Yeah,
I'll have to take that challenge, because I don't think I've ever done just 100 words.
It's a fun challenge.
The first three articles I wrote were 100 words without looking at the word count, and we're probably in the 250 range.
Chuck, wasn't it today you came in with a story you were writing?
175
Chuck does
words.
Yeah. And it was great, but he had to cut a lot. Mm-hmm. Chuck writes a consistent The NC Guy series. It depends in every issue.
Well, talk about writing it and trying, you know, not only covering the topic well, but actually that process and that challenge. Because I know our listeners are thinking, well, I have things I want to say, but 100 words, could I actually do that? And I need to practice it before I contacted them, right?
No, not necessarily. We certainly write for many of our clients, and we can attribute the company's name.
We actually prefer to write most of the content, all of the content.
Exactly.
But once in a while, someone has an internal PR person or communications expert,
and
we'll edit what they send in to match our voice and our style. But I would say 95% of the content comes directly from our team.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Because it is a little tricky, certainly, if you're not used to it.
But
I am going to issue myself that challenge, though, because it's like, you know, I sit there and, you know, next thing I know, it's 1,200 words.
Right.
And then I'm sending it to my editor saying, two-part article, 600, 650 each, whatever, you know, and trying to get it down to those types of things. But that 100-word challenge means you really have to get to the point.
Yes.
You do, and you also set yourself up for future articles, maybe to tell more of the story. I don't know if you've looked at the archives, but you may see part one and two of a story over a period of, you know, a month.
Right.
So sometimes you do want to tell a little more, and it's a hook to draw people back in to see the rest of the story.
Well, I mean, and it really is a fun, because I know first time I still have this problem on Twitter. I'm sitting there going, okay, can I put in all the guest names? Can I put in all the different things that I want to say, tune into the radio station? And you think you have it, and then you look, you've got like minus one. It's like, okay, I'm one over. And I can imagine it that challenge, but it's a mental, it's not just a mental exercise, but it's an expertise exercise in that, can I convey a meaningful message
in the proper voice for the client?
Right.
Right.
In 100 words. Mm-hmm. And I honestly say, if you challenged me right now, I probably could not do it.
Contractions are your friend.
Contractions are your friend, yeah. You know, can you do like W/ for with? No, I'm almost telling you. I know.
We prefer not to go there, but I have used a few slashes for things when I'm talking about maybe two highways or something like that, so I don't have to say highway one and two.
Right. Yeah, and it's those little stories, because you're right, it pops in my inbox. I look at it, I can go through all of them, and I can move on, and then I get other things, and I think I'll tag them for me to follow up later to read that article. Or later I'm going to come back to this. And later doesn't usually happen
That's
in my
very
schedule.
True. Right? Well, That's very true for
know,
most
our,
people.
Our analytics do show, though, that the day that it's sent out, we have our largest bump in
right.
activity. But between the issue going out and the next issue coming out 2 weeks later, the numbers continue to rise, because sometimes people do save it until the weekend or whenever they have a few extra minutes on the airplane or wherever. So we are seeing engagement throughout the 2 week life cycle.
And we continue to share throughout the weeks between issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and it was, when I opened it up, I thought, well, where's, you know, at first I thought, okay, there's going to be a link to more, right? And then I clicked, and it was like it took me to the website, and I could see some archives because I didn't get the first issues. But then it was just, it took me a moment to think, you know, that's interesting, because I immediately went back and I was like, 100 words. 100 seconds. And that was what, that's why I reached out to you guys, because I thought that was just so interesting. And it does, it actually conveys something that's meaningful. I can walk away and have something that I could talk about on that topic if mm-hmm. I needed to. Mm-hmm. Not that I'd be an expert in it on that, but I would have something to talk about on those topics. And that's really important. And what you're doing to raise the visibility, and this is businesses in North Carolina, it's anybody doing business in North Carolina, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about topics that actually do go outside the borders of North Carolina.
It is, and that's part of what the 100 companies concept is all about. We have 12 articles dedicated to the market that you're in,
mm-hmm.
and 3 articles are dedicated to the network. So anybody from any other state that maybe wants to have their presence seen in North Carolina can use one of those 3 spaces for a story to further a business in Oklahoma or in Atlanta. And vice versa. I've run stories in all the publications that exist so far based on where it makes sense. And we're continuing to open up markets throughout the country.
And how does that work between it? Does the publisher, like when someone comes to you for the North Carolina 100, mm-hmm. do you get to decide that fits, it doesn't fit? Or is it just a mutual relationship of saying first come, first serve, whichever 3 other areas comes in?
So it hasn't been an issue yet because we're still ramping up. You know, if you look at the other markets that have opened up, we're all still 6 months old. The Atlanta 100 was the flagship.
Right, the 2.5 years.
Yeah, so, you know, they have the most activity right now. They have the largest following, but not by much.
Do they still run 15 stories, or
they do?
So it's always going to be 15 stories,
but they run weekly instead
okay.
of bi-weekly.
So you just make it more frequent as what
That's
to cover
correct.
More topics.
Correct. And as demand increases for the publication, we may increase our frequency as well. We just started with
Wait a minute. She just saw her workload going up here.
We started with bi-weekly because we wanted to see how we could fit this into our normal schedules and still put out a quality publication, because being a publisher, we know that without the quality content, you're not going to be able to grow the subscriber base. And we really wanted to make sure every other week we focused on really solid content. So maybe someday when we grow up, we can have it every week.
You got to crawl before you can walk, right?
That's
just
right.
Like, well, we're going to take a quick break and thank our underwriters, and we'll be right back. A great supporter of WCOM FM and Focus on Business. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com. Focus on Business is underwritten by Focus Resources. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com. If you would like to become an underwriter for Focus on Business or any of the WCOM FM LP 103.5 programs or the station, visit the WCOMFM.org website for information on underwriting shows, becoming an individual sponsor, becoming a Golden Voice sponsor, or how to volunteer with the station. That's WCOMFM.org. We're on the air because you care and you underwrite our programs. And we're back, and we're talking with Chuck Norman and Deneen Bloom of SNA Communications and the North Carolina 100, which is a new online biweekly publication that they're putting out. They're the publishers, an associate publisher. And let's give some background, because we've been talking about your clients and how this all fits in, and if you go to a weekly schedule, how that's going to impact the workload and making sure you maintain the quality and things. So what does SNA Communications do? How long have you been in existence? And just kind of fill us in on your background.
Sure. SNA Communications was actually started as Smith & Associates. That's where the SNA came from back in 1982. So we'll be celebrating 35 years next year. But we started off as a traditional public relations agency. Media relations, crisis communication, reputation management, everything you would expect out of a public relations firm. And in the late 80s, we had a client that said, take our newsletter into something more. And we said, sure, what would you like it to do? And he said, well, we'd like to create a non-dues revenue stream, because it was an association.
Okay.
And so we took that newsletter into about an 80-page magazine, making about $100,000 a month in ad revenue. And after 5 years, they said, great job, we're going to take this in-house. And so we had taught ourselves the automotive industry and the publishing business. And so in 1990, we launched Cherokee Publishing Company, and a competitive publication to the one that we just built. And here we are in 2016, and it's the number one publication in the late model used vehicle industry called Auto Remarketing.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we got our publishing experience from. Over the course of the next decade, we were figuring out what was next and started doing some custom publishing along with our PR work. And we decided that we needed a quality of life publication as well. So in about 2003 or so, we launched Carrie Magazine. You may have seen that around town since you're a Carrie resident.
Occasionally, since I'm in the containment area.
But so, you know, we delved into that, and it's been a great publication for us. We're now in our 13th year of Carrie Magazine, and it's been wonderful for us as a company, because it's a great item to have out in the community to draw attention to a PR firm, which we don't usually have, you know, any other way to draw attention to ourselves.
For most businesses, when they hear PR, they think press release.
They do, yeah.
Right? And that's what somebody's going to do for me. They're going to do my press releases when I hire somebody, when I get a new client, that kind of thing. They don't think of it in the full public relations mode of beyond the press release.
That's correct.
That's right. And we really, Chuck was talking about how we evolved and have been around for over 35 years, or almost 35 years, and our services have grown as well. So well beyond only traditional public relations, mm-hmm. and into content marketing, for example,
right.
and all other aspects of marketing, really, we handle for clients. It depends on the client's need. It's not as much about this tactic or that. It's about what is the overall business goal for them.
Right.
What is their
the marketing
game?
Strategy.
Exactly.
What's
and
their objective? Are they growing? Are they just
their
getting
brand?
Started? Those kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm. And we saw a change in the marketplace, you know, 10 or 12 years ago, and saw that traditional PR firms could still be fine, but we wanted to continue to gain market share. So I helped launch our first digital division that the company had ever seen. And so we started adding people that could do web development and email marketing. And obviously we had graphic designers for our client work and also for our publications. And so now we have an 11-person creative and digital team that can do basically anything turnkey when we see a client's needs.
So explain what anything is and what turnkey means for our
sure.
listeners.
Sure. So the way we like to approach a piece of business is from an integrated perspective. And it's not just, you know, how you communicate, but what tools you need and tactics that you will be using to build out a campaign. Typically, whenever we're working with a client from all the perspectives within our agency, we start with their web presence first. We help build that out, make sure that we understand the brand, the content in there is solid, and then we start using our other channels to drive traffic to it. We have SEO and SEM experts on staff, so we can help drive the right eyeballs to that content. With our design team and our PR team, we were able to develop infographics and case studies and white papers. So again, content is king. You never know who's going to be reading what, so you have to cover many different tactics to get in front of the right eyeballs at the right time. So
it's all multimedia then, and that's something I think a lot of businesses overlook.
It is.
They think print, they think radio, they'll think traditional TV, but they don't think about putting a video on YouTube or doing Facebook pages and those kind of things.
Correct, and as you probably realize and know, pictures and video are actually rank much higher when it comes to organic search than just text.
Right.
And so we encourage people to use as many visuals as possible, and ultimately video if their budget can absorb that cost. But one of the reasons I wanted to mention video is because we also we do video in-house. We can do the talking head video and some basic things, but we've established a relationship with Brios Media, who is going to be our video partner for not only some higher advanced client work, but also for all the videos on North Carolina 100 moving forward.
Well, that's great, because I know we're going to be doing a show coming up on how video fits into marketing for businesses today, mm-hmm. especially small businesses with small budgets. But, you know, we learn in different ways. So people may not like to read or might not be good readers, but they can watch the video and they can get the message and those kind of things. So do you do it in a single language? Do you ever work in doing bilingual video, bilingual marketing, all of those kind of things? Or is that something that hasn't come up as much?
We don't currently, but I have done some of that work in the past. I actually minored in Spanish at NC State, and I also lived in Mexico after I graduated college. And
I went to Mexico with a client and learned that my Spanish was not their Spanish.
That is exactly
which
right.
I knew, right?
You know, there are probably 50 different versions of Spanish in Mexico, and you go from town to town and they're using different lingo for different
things. You can usually
things.
Read it yep. fine. It's the pronunciations mm-hmm. and the word usage.
And you've seen how many brands have gotten in trouble thinking they know how to translate something. Just one of my favorite examples over the years was when Chevy came out with the Nova, and Nova
no go.
Means no go in Spanish.
Well, I won't tell you the word that Ford had for a vehicle. I worked for Ford Motor Company, and they were going to have a world car with the same name everywhere. But one dialect somewhere in the world meant something that you do as a number two.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yeah.
So that was no longer a world car named with a world car name. And so every market got a different name then. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's like no. Or Citroen means lemon, right?
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
What does a lemon mean here? So it's those kind of things and being aware of that issue.
It is. And, you know, being professional communicators and someone that people pay handsomely to help them with their messaging, we stick to what we know best right now, but we do have partners that can help us out in other languages if needed. I'm sorry.
That's all right. When I went to Mexico, I had to translate words because everything needed to be masculine, and I will tend to mix it or use feminine forms. And then you don't say things like bottom line because it means something completely different. So you were constantly, and so they were editing and you know, and doing all that stuff to convert the materials into Spanish. And the Spanish that was for their locale mm-hmm. and their team around the world. So it's an interesting thing that we do have to be very aware of how our product names, everything translate if we're going to go beyond our local markets or our English speaking, our American English speaking, because it gets us in other problems elsewhere.
That's right. And through Counselors Academy and another network that I'm a part of, I do have agencies that we partner with to help us with those types of activities when needed in other countries and in the United States. So it's something that's very high on my priority list to do, to start venturing out outside of the United States, but we haven't quite done that yet.
Yeah, it brings interesting challenges in making those, because I know I'll kind of segue here, but to get the client project in Mexico, it was an interesting process because they don't have the same barriers to the questions that can be asked mm-hmm. and things like that. And mm-hmm. so when they were doing interviews for their consulting, they asked questions that weren't allowed here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of just like, everybody's freaking out. I was like, no, when we do business in their country, it's their rules.
That's right.
And so they can ask the questions. I may choose not to answer them, mm-hmm. but they can ask those questions. And so it's getting that translation and knowing that, you know, if we're going to do something in Puerto Rico, it's very different than if we're doing it in Mexico. And it's different to do it in Monterrey, Mexico, than it is to do it in Mexico City or if we're now with Cuba.
Mm-hmm,
those kind of things. There's going to be all this differences in how mm-hmm. we develop our branding, our strategies, and our messages. Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, and to tie this back into the 100 conversation, you know, we do have clients that have a presence in other countries. So I think it's very important to have the relationships that we have so we can tell those stories when needed, and to have the professionals in those areas that can tell them in the appropriate way, non-offensive way.
Right. Well, and it's kind of fun because we never know in the digital world who is going to see that. When they see that little NC100 story, it can be picked up. I mean, I got big in Singapore at one point. Every article I wrote was just huge in Singapore. And it's just funny because you don't know, and they're so long-lived
mm-hmm.
that what I wrote in 2004, I still get emails and calls about, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's just amazing that as long as it's live on the internet, it will have life and bring value in, to the message and your brand and those kind of things.
That's a blessing and a curse to some brands, but it's also great for a company like mine because I always have some reputation management and crisis communication activities that would be great for a client to help solve some
of
those issues.
And let's talk about some of those things because sometimes people hit that tweet button a little too fast. Or sometimes they misspeak when they're doing something, when something's going on at their organization, and they offend. Or sometimes some quarterback sits down on the bench during the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem and then escalates it afterwards. And so how do companies recover from that in the digital world where everything is forever and once it hits the internet, there is no taking it back?
It depends on the individual circumstance, but they need to reach out and have some PR counsel, I'd say.
It does, and it you have to stay ahead of the message. Everyone's a reporter now. You know, think about when Captain Sully landed in the Hudson.
Right.
You know, there's a movie about it now, but before the airline was able to get their crisis communication strategy going about 90 minutes after it happened, there were already about 2,000 tweets and video and everything else out there that this was happening. And so by the time that they got their crisis plan and messaging out there, people had already developed their own opinions. So it's really about the 24-second news cycle instead of the 24-hour news cycle like it used to be, and that everyone is going
to
tell their
story. Everyone has a video on their cell phone.
That's right.
Everyone has some kind of social media account, it seems like, and it's instantaneous.
Commentary.
We consult with our clients to have a dark site ready, so at the flip of a switch, you can have messaging ready to go. And also messaging.
A dark website, meaning it's sitting there, it's active, it's in draft form, and you can turn
it on. Not live until you need it.
That's correct. And a lot of the messaging about your company and the things that you would like to say from a general standpoint have already been developed. And you can customize those messages for the specific situation at hand. But, you know, think about creating all of this content and the strategy that goes behind it in a few minutes. That this way, when you have a dark site and the messaging ready in advance, you've spent weeks or months talking about it with the executives and how you want to position yourselves for a number of different scenarios, whether they happen or not.
Well, and it also has to do with how the public already perceives you as a business. If they perceive you as a corporate raider, it's not going to matter, right? It's building that reputation in advance. And someone was talking, I think it was last week, was telling the story that when she was a nurse before she was running the organization she's running now, they went through all the quality checks after the surgery and realized they had left a sponge in the patient. And he was doing fine and all that stuff. And they had the debate, do I tell him? Do we just wait and see what happens? And they chose to tell him. And he said, this would have been a different conversation if you hadn't treated me so well before the surgery and after the surgery, and then you found this. So they didn't get a lawsuit.
Right.
Their reputation, how they had conducted themselves before, was so great that it could withstand a sponge being left in somebody had re-operated on it. But it's those kind of things. I think back into the dark ages, as some of my friends say when I bring it up, but Tylenol, when they had the tampering issue, they didn't come out and say, you know, try to spin it. They said, we're taking it off. We're going to take the hit. Your safety is more important than our bottom line. That's why Tylenol is still here today, is because if they had done anything else, in my opinion, people would have turned on it. Right? It was credibility. So we're pulling it back. We're going to change our packaging. And it didn't turn out to be them, but they took the right path. And so I think that's been something that's carried them forward for a long time.
It is, and you make a wonderful point there, Lee, is that we only recommend people tell the truth, tell the full story as much as you can legally, and make sure that you tell it quickly so people have some level of comfort that you're acting on the situation. Now, you can't always give all the facts right away because you don't know exactly what's happening. I mean, you remember when the miners were trapped not too many years ago and they said everyone was dead. Then they're all alive.
Right.
Then they're all dead. No, they're not. I mean, it can really muddy the water. So you have to get your facts straight, but tell people as you know those facts and as quickly as you can.
Well, and we also have to realize that the eyewitnesses are often the most unreliable. So let's locally, when we thought we had the mall shooting, right? Everybody's saying they were shooting, people had seen the gun, somebody gave a description, but yet the police have never found evidence that there truly was a shooting in the mall.
Right.
But it happened, so the perception is that mall is dangerous, right? And so we're always going to be hyper alert when we go to a mall now.
That's right.
And so it's the perception is often more reality than reality is for people.
It is, and you know that's why I mentioned staying ahead of the story, because if you can stay ahead of the story and tell your story about your brand the way the brand wants it told, people have less chance to improvise.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, in my business, you know, and every business is going to have that, you run into competitors that aren't always ethical, and mm-hmm. they will do anything possible to damage your reputation just because they want the client you have or whatever. But when people have read your thing, so like if they know you from NC 100, if they know you from your articles, if they know you from speaking, if they know you from your books, if they know what you stand for, it doesn't stick. You kind of become Teflon. Mm-hmm. It's going to just slide right off because people know that doesn't describe the way she does business, mm-hmm. or that's not anybody's mm-hmm. experience, or she is an expert in that, right? And it's those kind of things. And you build that brand article by article, broadcast by broadcast, NC 100, 100 words at a time or 100 second of video. It's those kind of things that ultimately stay with the person because that's their firsthand experience with mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the reasons why the North Carolina 100 and the 100 companies came about is so we can tell those stories the way we want to tell them and not leave journalists and other mainstream media outlets
the less objective.
Yes. Yeah. I was trying to think of a nice way to say that because we value our relationships with right. the media, but they also work for someone else and they're not PR firms. And so we're able to have a little more control and tell those stories in a little bit different way than what's being told by the higher ups at right. some of the media properties.
Well, and I think when we choose our media sources, our information sources, we're going to know, like, if we choose one that's a conservative outlet, we know it's a conservative outlet and where their stories are going to come from. If we choose, let's say, a progressive or a liberal outlet, we know what they're going to come from. Mm-hmm. And so we can make those choices if we want it filtered that way or slanted that way. But sometimes we just want information that we get to make judgments about that's true back to that old journalistic standard of, here is an expert commentary, here's an expert opinion, here's an expert insight that's coming to us. Let me read that and then take it and put it where I need it in my information stream. Mm-hmm. And that's what NC100 seems to be.
It is, and I think we do a good job of showing love throughout the state. You know, we didn't want this to be a Triangle publication right. or a Charlotte publication, so we work really hard to tell stories about the state in general and different parts of the state that maybe not get recognition from some of the other mainstream outlets.
Well, I know, and sometimes we forget... we've had Representative Lewis on that represents most of Harnett County, and he talked about, you know, well, Fayetteville and mm-hmm. Cumberland County has this, and Johnston County has this, and Wake County has this. But the parts of Harnett County that don't abut those counties are kind of searching for their economy and for their growth and their opportunities. But that's a kind of story that he could write or somebody in mm-hmm. that community
that's
could
right.
write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why Harnett County or why Cherokee
right.
County or
right.
why... you know, our little communities that are out there that, mm-hmm. you know, have the opportunity to grow and have space and have resources and have people mm-hmm. that want to work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Outside of, you know, Eastern North Carolina and Western North Carolina, outside of some of the major hotspots like Wilmington and Asheville, don't really get that type of recognition. And I think we've done a good job focusing on some of the small, more obscure places mm-hmm. that are still wonderful places in North Carolina. But no one really knows about them. I mean, they're kind of hidden
secrets.
They're
North Carolina's best kept secret.
That's very right. true. Yeah, we have a lot of those in North Carolina.
Well, and it's, you know, we were talking before we went on there, and I don't think most of my guests, my audience knows, I'm originally from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I know when I would travel to different states, the perception of what West Virginia was, and I can remember getting in a battle with one of the publications when I was in Minnesota over their perception. And I said, well, the problem is West Virginia didn't have good PR. Right, because the story that gets told is from outside and people not really realizing how many governmental agencies are there, how mm-hmm. much technology is right. there, how much medicine, and all these things going on. And I said, when it comes state to state or community to community or a little municipality or unincorporated little town, it is about being able to get your message out, and they need the PR, and this mm-hmm. gives them an avenue mm-hmm. to do that that's, you know, that hasn't been there, and I think that's really great.
Yeah, thank you.
We do too.
So we just have a couple of minutes, so we've got about 6. Mm-hmm. What direction, other than maybe going weekly eventually and that kind of thing, what else is there out there for the 100 companies, for NC100, for SNA Communications, for your clients? What's this next 2017? I can't believe we're past halfway
yes.
in the year. you know, we only have a few months of this year left. What does that horizon look like, and what are you expecting to be happening with your clients and NC100?
Sure. Well, we're extremely excited about the positive reaction we've had to the North Carolina 100 so far. You know, SNA Communications has been around a long time, so it's hard for us to get excited about things, but this is something that I think we've all gotten behind.
Are you getting jaded?
Well, no. You know, we've been there and done that, but this is something that's brand new that no one's ever seen, and to have 52,000 people receiving it already in the first 4.5 months is a tremendous goal.
Validation.
And it's really fun to see that subscription base going and growing.
So do you have like a ticker up on the wall?
Nothing in the war room, but you know, it's something that we're working really hard to see it get to 100,000 over the next year or two. I mean, it just really depends on the appetite people have for one more medium, in a medium that's different than everything else that they're looking at so far. So
I think once someone finds it, it will be replacing something else they do.
We're getting good feedback from people, mm-hmm. which is great, and you know, we're going to start including some of that feedback on the site. But people are, you know, things like, I can't believe this didn't exist before, and how did I, you know, do without this? Which seems a little extreme because you can still do without it, but I do. But
people are enjoying it.
Yeah,
which is
and it's
great.
That's that quick little snapshot. Like I said, you've got 5 minutes. You can, and if you're a fast reader, you can digest it,
yep.
And you can take away those little gems.
Mm-hmm. There are plenty of publications out there too that have more in-depth stories, but this is really meant to be, you know, a statewide audience. What's happening in your state? Are you passionate about your state? And so I hope the next 4 or 5 months go as well as the first 4 or 5. But for SNA, again, we're celebrating our 35th anniversary next year, and we're going to have a big event out at the North Carolina 100 headquarters, Carrie Magazine and SNA Communications.
And where is the headquarters?
So we're on Weston Parkway in Carrie. Many people may realize that MetLife brought thousands of people to the Triangle in recent years, and we're just about a mile past the MetLife headquarters on Weston Parkway.
All right. And so we've talked about it's biweekly now. You're thinking eventually it might be weekly. In the long term, do you ever think that this concept would be a daily type thing?
So some of our other publications have a daily element to them. One of our national automotive trades puts out 5 to 7 stories every day, and it is a monster because they are full-length stories. But, you know, I mean, this could become a business model all in itself, and if, you know, the demand is there, I could see it happening. I won't say no to it, but I have a feeling this is probably at most a weekly publication.
And it's a capacity challenge, too.
It is.
I can write an 800, you know, word story in 20 minutes, right? But I think it would actually take me just as long to do 100 word.
It does. It really does, mm-hmm. sometimes. And we've gotten into the groove a little bit, so you can get through them much more quickly than in the beginning. But if you don't overthink it, you can power through it pretty quickly. It's just the editing part of it. It's getting that last 5 words off of the table sometimes is the challenge.
And it depends on the topic and the client you're working with. How easily the client can give you kind of bullet points, or you interview them. I've had a client I've interviewed for 1.5 hours on the telephone, and we've whittled down to a 100-word story. So,
but long term, we're looking at many other markets. I mean, we're hoping to be in 12 to 17 in the next year, and 50 in the next 2 years. We already have our first international 100. Dubai starts in October. And so it's really taking off, and I think it, because it's driven by PR people, and many of whom spent time as journalists or at the news desk, they really understand and are embracing the concept.
Chuck, I think I might need to go out to Dubai and show them.
I think you need to teach them how to boil that down to the 100 words. It's always exciting to see the innovations that are happening, and it's something that when somebody says, well, why hasn't this always been around, you know, you've hit a sweet spot, you know, that white space that's out there. And so that's really great. So the website is thenorthcarolina100.com. They can follow you on Twitter at Chuck Norman and at the NC100 and at SA Communicate. I know you have one, Deneen.
I do, yes, at Deneen Bloom.
Is it all one word, or is there an underscore?
Underscore.
Okay,
yes.
Underscore at the name underscore Bloom.
Bloom.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
And then they're on Instagram at the NC100, Pinterest at the NC100, and you can find them on LinkedIn as the North Carolina 100, and Chuck Norman. And I think I skipped over Facebook. Go to Facebook/the NC100. And I want to thank you both for being on the show today.
Thank you, Lee. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it.
Thanks
Appreciate
so much.
Your time.
And everyone, thanks for tuning in. And until next time, stay focused on the important things.
There's a man down on the corner holding a sign. You know, I think he's right. Says the end of time. Saw a newsman on TV in a Colorado town, telling how some madman shot innocent people down. God, I hate to think what lies ahead if we don't get back to the Bible, start doing what Jesus said. We gotta pray like we've never prayed before. We gotta fight like a soldier in a war. Take a stand, every woman and every man down on our knees. We gotta beg and plead. We can't give up. We can't give in till God blesses America again. I wonder what old Thomas Jefferson would say if he could come back from the grave and talk to us today. Would he tell us that this country is just what he had in mind, or would repent and turn to God be the words he cried? All of this low living.
Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Ann Close of Close HR Connections has been on the show, and she is a great supporter of WCOM-FM and Focus on Business. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com. Focus on Business is underwritten by Focus Resources. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com. If you would like to become an underwriter for Focus on Business or any of the WCOM FM LP 103.5 programs or the station, visit the WCOMFM.org website for information on underwriting shows, becoming an individual sponsor, becoming a Golden Voice sponsor, or how to volunteer with the station. That's WCOMFM.org. We're on the air because you care.